The following sermon is by Boyd Johnson, pastor of Treasuring Christ Church in Athens, Georgia. More information about Treasuring Christ Church can be found at tccathens.org.
Well, with the time change this weekend, I figured it would be good to think about a pervasive issue that I know is on your mind, pervasive issue in our lives that is unavoidable and that we ought to think about from a biblical perspective, and that is the issue of sleep. The Bible actually says quite a lot about sleep, more than you might realize. And that only makes sense given that one-third of our lives is spent asleep or at least trying to fall asleep. Our need for sleep is a daily reminder from the Lord. It's a daily reminder that we are not God. Though we are made in His image, Scripture tells us, Psalm 121:4, that He neither slumbers nor sleeps. We are unlike Him in this regard. But God has made us sleepers. He fashioned our bodies in such a way that at least until we await our glorified bodies, we require sleep. Even in the garden, God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. Before the fall, when He made the first woman from the first man, Genesis 2:21. But part of God's design for humanity is that we require sleep, and this means that sleep is a stewardship. Sleep is a stewardship. Our bodies are not our own, and therefore we ought to seek the sleep our bodies need as we're able, so that we can use our bodies in service of the Lord. Sleep researchers, and there is such a thing, sleep researchers tell us that there are great dangers in neglecting sleep. One researcher who published a best-selling book in recent years surveyed the latest research and summarized his findings as follows. All of this from many studies. Quote, routinely sleeping less than 6 or 7 hours a night demolishes your immune system, more than doubling your risk of cancer. Insufficient sleep is a key lifestyle factor determining whether or not you will develop Alzheimer's disease. Inadequate sleep, even moderate reductions for just 1 week, disrupts blood sugar levels so profoundly that you would be classified as pre-diabetic. Short sleeping increases the likelihood of your coronary arteries becoming blocked and brittle, settling you on a path toward cardiovascular disease, stroke, and congestive heart failure. Now, some of his conclusions are controversial, but he goes on to cite more than 20 large-scale studies that tracked millions of people over many decades. And each one of these studies reported the same finding. Quote, the shorter your sleep, the shorter your life. The leading causes of disease and death in developed nations, diseases such as heart disease, obesity, dementia, diabetes, and cancer, all have recognized causal links to a lack of sleep. Now, these researchers don't approach their studies from a Christian worldview, and we know from Scripture that the number of days we live are determined by the Lord. Nevertheless, we also understand that the choices we make affect our health, and the mistreatment of our bodies can bring about sickness and even death, so we ought to think carefully how we should sleep, because God has required our bodies to need sleep. Now, many of us, however, lack a biblical understanding of sleep. We often treat it as something that gets in the way of what we want to do. We do this every time that we scroll our phones late at night and forestall the sleep we know we need. But we do this in many other ways as well. We often treat sleep as something that gets in the way. But the Bible reveals that there's another reason why we sleep beyond the physical need for it. Solomon writes in Psalm 127, verse 2, "The Lord gives to His beloved sleep." Now, somebody ought to put that on a little monograph or something on their wall. The Lord gives to His beloved sleep. Sleep is not just a need we have, but this verse tells us the Lord gives to His beloved sleep. Sleep is a gift from God. It is a gift of love from the hand of God to be enjoyed. Truly, He made us workers. In the garden, He made Adam and Eve workers. In the new heavens and the new earth, we will be workers. Throughout this life, we are to be workers for His goals and His glory. But He doesn't require we work without rest. This is surely a mercy. He gave us the gift of sleep to provide us with refreshment after our daily labors. And I think that had He not made us require sleep, but merely offered sleep as a gift that we could engage in if we wanted to, we'd be more like the Israelites, who they were to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, and on the seventh year give their land as a rest for the Sabbath. And yet, what did they do? They neglected that time after time. And we would be the same way if God didn't require our bodies to need sleep. We would neglect this great gift that God has given to us. He gave us the gift of sleep to provide us with refreshment after our daily labors. And so how do we experience this gift as God intended it? How can we get good sleep? Now, we understand that there are medical conditions that cause poor sleep, but sleep researchers agree that by far the most common reasons for sleeplessness are, in their words, psychological, which includes worry, stress, and fear. But what they term psychological reasons for sleeplessness, we know really to be spiritual issues that require spiritual solutions. Worry, stress, and fear are spiritual issues. There's some of the reasons for sleeplessness. Now, there are all sorts of tips and tricks to a better night's sleep. From a physical standpoint, tips about the temperature of your room, how dark it should be, what you should and shouldn't eat and drink before bed, and what you should and shouldn't do. And you can learn all those tips from many sources, but what are the spiritual conditions for good sleep? What are the spiritual conditions for good sleep? And for that, we must turn to God's Word. So let's look to Scripture as we discover four spiritual conditions for good sleep. And the first condition for good sleep is a diligent hand. A diligent hand. Hard work makes for good sleep. And we know from experience that we sleep better after hard work, and Scripture confirms that. Look at what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep." The word laborer is used of someone accustomed to hard manual labor, such as a servant. Yet despite the physical exertion the day's duties demanded, it says his sleep is sweet, regardless of whether he has much or little to eat. Sweet is the word used to describe something enjoyable to eat, often describing honey. For him, sleep is like tasting honey. It's very pleasant because he has spent himself on his labor. Now contrast that with the rich man whose stomach is full. The rich man cannot sleep. His abundance keeps him awake. Now, why is that? You'd think that the laborer would stay awake, worrying about whether he'd have enough to eat the next day. Or maybe that the hunger in his stomach would keep him up. But we think that the rich man would sleep best, knowing he has more than he needs. But this verse says just the opposite is true. Why? Well, now the clue is to notice that the contrast in this verse is not between a poor man and a rich man, nor is the contrast between a laborer and a sluggard. The contrast is between a laborer and a rich man. Now, what's the difference between these, a laborer and a rich man? Well, look at verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied, note that word, with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. Now that word satisfied in verse 10 comes from the same root word as the word full in verse 12. In other words, the comparison here is one of contentment. The issue here is contentment. The one who loves riches will never be content no matter how full his stomach, and his abundance keeps him awake at night thinking of ways to protect that fortune, to grow that fortune, and to gain more. Whereas this poor servant, this poor laborer who has little to nothing, rests content at night because he knows he's done what he could and has nothing else to fill his head with. He knows he's been diligent with his work that day and done what he was able. And because he's done that, he's done all that he could do. He can lay his head down in sleep. That's why diligence makes for good sleep. When you know that your work pleases God and serves man, and you've been faithful in your responsibilities and worked within your priorities, then you can rest satisfied at night, even if you don't have much. You can be content. Satisfying sleep follows diligent work. No doubt you'll leave things undone at the end of the day, because only God, of course, gets his to-do list done each day. He's the only one who does. But satisfied sleep comes from diligently doing what God has allotted for you to do. But we also must beware of indulging sleep. Proverbs 20, verse 13, warns, "Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread." In Proverbs, the prototype of one who sinfully loves sleep is the sluggard. Proverbs portrays a sluggard as one who turns on his bed as a door turns on its hinges, on the left side, back, right side, face down, just turning around like a door on its hinges, enjoying that bed. Portrays the sluggard as one who's always wanting a little more sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, the sluggard says. Now, note that both the laborer and the sluggard enjoy sleep. For the laborer, sleep is a gift to be enjoyed after the day's work. For the sluggard, sleep is an indulgence in order to avoid the day's work. But in each case, they enjoy sleep. So this warning about not loving sleep is not to shame us for enjoying sleep. You ought to enjoy sleep. God gave it to you to enjoy. So enjoy it. Enjoyment of sleep isn't what makes sleep sinful. To sinfully love sleep is to sacrifice responsibilities and priorities in order to gain more of it. To use sleep to avoid what you ought to do. The worker who sleeps when he should be working will impoverish himself. That's the message of Proverbs. But if he only opens his eyes, that is, gets up at the proper time to work, he'll find he has enough. Sleep is good, but the gift God has given us can be used for sin. Some refashion the gift of sleep into an idol. They become a slave to sleep and serve it, rather than being served by it as God intended. Now, how can you know if you've made sleep an idol? Well, let me give you two tests on whether you've made sleep an idol. One, if you won't ever sacrifice sleep for kingdom purposes, you sleep like an idolater. If you won't ever sacrifice sleep for kingdom purposes, you sleep like an idolater. Jesus slept. We know that, not only because he took on flesh, but also because the Gospels tell us he slept. Notably, he slept on a boat in a raging sea. Must have been really tired. But at times, he stayed up all night to pray, according to the Gospels. One of those times was at the Garden of Gethsemane, where he urged his disciples to forego sleep in order to pray against temptation. To forego sleep for kingdom purposes. These times of prayer weren't just for Jesus' own sake, but also in service of love for others. And so sometimes serving others in love requires the sacrifice of sleep. You need to believe that the God who made a banquet from 5 loaves and 2 fish can help you get by on 5 hours of sleep for kingdom purposes, if that's his grand design. You just ask him, Lord, give me the strength I need to serve you today. I can testify he answers that prayer all the time. He loves to answer that prayer because in your weakness, he can demonstrate his power. Here's a second test to determine whether you sleep like an idolater. And that's whether you're enslaved by it. If you neglect your responsibilities and priorities and avoid the work you have to do by sleeping instead, then you have been enslaved to it and you have turned the gift into an idol to be served and you sleep like an idolater. So there is sleep that restores and there is sleep that ruins. Sleep that heals and sleep that harms. But a diligent hand is required for good sleep. The second spiritual condition for good sleep is a trusting soul. A trusting soul. Many times the reasons for our sleeplessness is that we are anxious, worried, or fearful. But the one who fully trusts the Lord will find good sleep. Go over to Psalm 127. Solomon, who wrote most of Proverbs, also wrote 2 Psalms. And one of those is Psalm 127, where we find that sleeplessness is vain if the Lord is not in it. He writes in Psalm 127, verse 2, "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." Vain means empty or worthless. It's empty and worthless for you to get up early and stay up late anxiously toiling away. Why? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being diligent? Diligence isn't the issue. He gives to his beloved sleep. He has given those he loves the gift of sleep. Therefore, rest and enjoy his gift rather than getting so worked up with worry. That's the issue. Getting so worked up with worry that you lose sleep. Why do you fret in your bed? Why do you toss and turn? Why do you anxiously burn the candle at both ends? He's called us to rest in Him so that you can sleep under Him. Is it always vain to work long hours? No, that's not what He means. Sometimes, as we've already talked about, there are times to serve others and to serve kingdom purposes that we must work lengthy hours, late into the night or early in the morning. We find out what Solomon means by working these toilsome hours by looking at the context in verse 1. Notice that he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The home builder labors in vain, the watchman stays awake in vain, if what? If the Lord is not in it. That's what makes work empty and worthless, if the Lord is not in it. It's vain when the Lord is not in the work. Unless the Lord builds the house, building is worthless. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding is pointless. So in view of verse 1, there are only two possibilities with regard to our labor. Either the Lord is our co-laborer, or the labor is pointless. There's no third option. It's not shameful to work hard, even at work at times, long hours, into the night, or early in the morning. But it's shameful if the Lord is not laboring with you. If He isn't with you in the work, no wonder you're anxious. But if God works with you, then He can bless your work even when you're not working. Some translations render the end of verse 2, He gives to His beloved even in His sleep. Now that's the one I want on my wall. To be productive even when you're comatose. When you stop working and lie down, God keeps working on your behalf. He does. He sure does. So do work that pleases Him and serves His creation in reliance on Him. That's how you co-labor with God. You do work that pleases Him, serves His creation, whether it in a vocational work or at home or whatever you're doing, mowing the lawn, whatever. Do work that pleases Him, serves His creation in reliance on Him, then lie down at night, trusting Him to work for you. Scripture gives a number of examples of those who slept soundly despite frightening circumstances, simply because they trusted the Lord as they laid down their head. Go over to Psalm 3. And here, David recounts when he fled his rebel son, Absalom, who'd stolen the kingdom and sought to kill his own father. And in Psalm 3, David wrote something that can't be understood unless you know the peace that comes from trusting fully in the Lord. He writes in verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again. For the Lord sustained me. Here was David hunted by his own son. And yet, he was able to lay down and get a good night rest. His pillow that night was perhaps only a stone in a field under a starry sky, but he wasn't afraid, even though an army was tracking him. He says in verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Why? How is it that he won't be afraid even while he's asleep? That's the easiest time for these armies to find him and kill him. Because he knew that his life was in the Lord's hands. He trusted in the sovereign purposes of the Lord. And the Lord did sustain him that night. The word sustain means to support, to be able to lean upon him with his full weight. That's what trust in the Lord is, to fully lean upon God Almighty. Likewise, look over in chapter 4, verse 8. David writes, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." He had no need to be suspicious of every rustling sound. He didn't need to fear every shadow under the moon. The Lord, He alone, was His sovereign protector, and therefore he put his hope in the Lord alone, trusting in Him fully, putting his full weight upon the Lord, just like you're putting your full weight on that chair. Which one of you came in here and said, "I'm going to trust the chair when I sit down"? But that's what you're doing, that it would sustain you. And in the same way, we put our full weight upon the Lord that He will sustain us. Charles Spurgeon wrote in his commentary, "Better than bolts or bars is the protection of the Lord." How many of our sleepless hours might be traced to our untrusting and disordered minds? They slumber sweetly whom faith rocks to sleep. Will you let faith rock you to sleep when all around you gives way? When Peter was taken captive by Herod for preaching the gospel in Acts 12, he spent the night in a cell between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and patrols guarding the door of his prison. By all appearances, it looked to be on the eve of his execution. And yet his soft pillow that night was his trust in the Lord. He slept so soundly, in fact, that the angel sent to rescue him, despite coming in glorious light, literally had to strike Peter on the side to wake him up. That's trust in the Lord. The sleep of those who trust God is sweet and deep. A trusting soul makes good sleep. A third spiritual condition for good sleep is a holy heart. A holy heart. A holy heart makes good sleep. The reason some cannot sleep at night is that they plot sin in their hearts. Sin keeps them awake at night. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon warns his son to stay away, far away from the wicked. For he says in chapter 4, verse 16, "They cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble." This is a picture of the wicked's insatiable desire to do wrong and cause the downfall of others. They neglect sleep in order to do works of lawlessness. David observed in Psalm 36:4 that the wicked plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. Truly, some lie awake at night scheming evil dreams while others patrol the streets in the darkness looking to do crimes. But impurity in a believer's life will also keep him awake. A guilty conscience over the day's unrepentant sins will cause you to toss and turn. Turning out the lights and lustfully imagining what the Lord condemns will cause unholy sleeplessness. Make it a practice to begin your days with prayers of adoration during the Lord and petition, asking for His wise and good provision. And make it a practice to end your days as you lay down with prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what you've done, and confession. Go to bed with a holy heart, having confessed and repented of your sins, to get better sleep. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23 says that the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. The fear of the Lord will lead you to obey Him and walk wisely. That in turn will give you the rest you desire, because your conscience won't accuse you and your imaginations won't invent sinful visions. Walk with purity of heart and you will find peaceful sleep. Finally, the last spiritual condition for good sleep is a wise mind. A wise mind. Again, Solomon speaks to his son in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. He says, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Solomon says that in order for your sleep to be sweet, you must not lose sight of two things: sound wisdom and discretion. Wisdom is the application of God's truth to our lives. Skillful living in light of God's truths. Discretion gives careful thought to action before moving forward. And we need both. Skillful application of God's truth to our lives and wisdom, and also the discretion to consider our paths before we take action. By wisdom and discretion, you'll keep away from many foolish and painful paths, and you'll have nothing to regret when you retire at the end of the day. And it's good to hit your bed without any regrets of the day. One commentator writes, "Watchful wisdom during our waking hours leads to sweet slumber during our sleeping hours." Watchful wisdom during our waking hours leads to sweet slumber during our sleeping hours. That is, a wise mind will prevent much of the hardships that lead to sleeplessness. Better living will lead to better sleeping. And when you lie down, Solomon says also in chapter 6, verse 22, "When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you." God's instructions. When the light goes out and you're all alone with your thoughts, if your mind is filled with God's truth from His Word, His truth becomes like a sentinel guarding you against temptations. Is there a connection between your devotional times and your sleep patterns? Well, I believe there is. When we read God's Word and pray, we fill our minds with God's wisdom so that we can exercise discretion and remain in God's will through obedience and faith. And a mind filled with God's truth will make for good sleep. How can we sleep well? We've learned that sleep is a gift from God and also necessary for our well-being. There are many tips that can help you sleep from a physical standpoint, but spiritual problems require spiritual remedies, and if we neglect the spiritual, we will not have good sleep. No matter what we set our temperature to, no matter how dark it gets in our bedroom, no matter what we eat or don't eat in the hours before we go to sleep, if we don't address the spiritual issues in our lives, our sleep won't be sweet. If you follow all the best advice on what sheets to buy and what pillows to use and what temperature to set your thermostat and what foods and drinks to avoid and so on, you will still find your sleep to be bad unless you address the spiritual causes of sleeplessness. But by diligent hands, a faith-filled soul, a holy heart, and a wise mind, your sleep will be sweet. Well, may you have sweet dreams as you fall asleep in your Father's loving arms each night, or maybe just this afternoon. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful gift. You are the giver of good gifts. Every good gift comes from our Father's hands above, and we know you as a good and generous giver. Thank you that you are our Father. For those of us who have trusted in Christ alone for salvation, you are our Father and not our judge. And because you are our Father, you know, just like the fathers and mothers in this room know, that the kids need the sleep. And so do we. We need the sleep. And so, Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that, to rest from our labors and to rest in you. And we pray that we would do this in a way that would honor you. 1/3 of our lives you've ordained for us to be in sleep. And so, Lord, whether we eat or drink or are awake or are asleep, whatever we do, may we do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Treasuring Christ Church in Athens, Georgia. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not alter the content in any way without permission. Treasuring Christ Church exists to spread a passion for the fame of Christ's name in Athens and around the world. We invite you to visit Treasuring Christ Church online at tccathens.org. There you'll find other resources available to you and information about our upcoming gatherings.